The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in John chapter, well, many places today, John 14, 15, and 16. I have this image in my mind that I want to briefly share with you. And I'm just going to share it, not expound upon it. It's not super profound, but I just want to share it. And then maybe we'll revisit it throughout the morning together. I have this image that I'm standing in front of a vending machine, a pre-2006 vending machine, the kind that you can't swipe a credit card to get what you want. I'm thinking back even in the 90s to where you couldn't put dollar bills in yet, like early 90s, where you just had to put those things called quarters. And I'm standing in front of this vending machine with six quarters. One, two, three, four, five. And each time I put it in, you can hear it drop. You hear the other change kind of do that clanging sound, right? And then you put the sixth one in, and you don't really pick up on it at the moment, but you think everything that is necessary for you to get what you desire is good to go. So you press the Coke button, because let's just be honest. What else is there to choose? You press it. You press it again and again and again, and you realize that last quarter didn't drop. We're in a series this month entitled Practicing the Way of Jesus. And we're looking at the kind of life that Jesus is inviting us into. And as we look at this life that Jesus is inviting us into, we're tracing what we call the Spirit-produced outcomes that are evidenced in our life over time as we learn to walk in the way of Jesus. Now, if we stand at the proverbial vending machine, if you will, and metaphorically think about life with Jesus, if the final quarter were to drop for us when it comes to our relationship with God, here's what I believe we would all experience, because this is what Jesus himself bears witness to. We would encounter the fullness of the relationship that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit enjoy together. That's what we would encounter. The fullness of that relationship. That when we see the invitation of Jesus to come and follow him, it's an invitation to come and enjoy life with me, Jesus says. The kind of life that I am presently experiencing with the Father and the Spirit. Which is why we have been intentional to remind you, not just throughout this series, it's one of the things that we talk about all the time around Summit, that the life Jesus is inviting us into, it is only possible by the Spirit. That's it. You and I can't live the Jesus life. We can't live the abiding life. We can't bear fruit in and of ourselves. That this relationship that Jesus is inviting us into is only made possible by the Spirit, from the willingness to say yes to his invitation to come and follow him, to the longing to abide in him, to the fruit that's being produced as a result of that abiding, to the willingness to say yes to his command to love one another. It is all a work of the Spirit of God. I draw your attention back to John 14, and I want to read a little bit more in connection to what Ivan was reading over us. I'll pick up in verse 15 of John 14. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. Will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Now jump down to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I really do believe we should slow down and consider the truth being held out for us from Jesus. And it's this: the person of the Holy Spirit is God Himself alive and at work in you, in me, in us. Let me say that one more time. The person of the Holy Spirit is God Himself alive and at work in you, in me, in us. It is the person of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, who is alive and at work in you, compelling you to live an abiding life. We looked at that in week one. The joy, the fruit, the desire of being at home with Jesus. It's all a work of the Spirit. Last week when Brian was here, we saw the notion of this person of the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself alive and at work in us, who is the one producing that fruit in us, producing the very character of Jesus in our lives. And what John is going to tell us and what the New Testament writers are going to bear witness to, that He is bearing that fruit in the context of the relationships that we forge as a community of faith. And then today, it is the person of the Holy Spirit, God Himself, who is alive and at work within us, who is uniquely gifting each of us to participate in what God is doing in the world through His church, through His people. And the reason why I think we need to slow down and contemplate this, consider this, because if we don't start here, when we think of the kind of life Jesus is inviting us into, if we don't settle this truth in our mind and heart, then the invitation of Jesus is always going to feel like standing in front of the proverbial vending machine, just hoping, or not even knowing why the quarter just won't drop. So in keeping this thought at the forefront of our minds, I want us to see the significance of the third outcome. Turn over to John 15, and I want you to look down at verse 26 and 27 as we consider this notion of spirit giftedness, that the abiding life with Jesus is one in which we can learn to live our lives from the place of being at home with Jesus and know that He is bearing fruit, producing fruit in our lives in the context of meaningful relationships, and that He is uniquely gifting each of us, which is for the good of us and the good of the world. Look at verse 26, John 15. He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, Jesus says two really profound things in these two verses of Scripture. He says that the Spirit's role in your life, my life, is to both confirm the truth of Jesus in our lives, as well as to equip us for the work of ministry. So there's an edification of truth that the Spirit is doing. And there's also an equipping of the Spirit that empowers you and me to participate in this ministry. Then we turn the page over and we look at the very last prayer that Jesus prays to his disciples, over his disciples, in John chapter 17. And he prays specifically for the church in this way. He prays for our unity and our witness. So there's a connection between what Jesus says the Spirit's role is in confirming truth in our lives and equipping us for ministry, to now in John 17, him praying for unity amongst this body, this community of faith, and the equipping of that very witness. What is our ministry? Our ministry is to bear witness of Jesus. That's our ministry. Regardless of who pays the bills, regardless of what your career path is, regardless of where the check gets deposited from, our ministry in the abiding life with Jesus is to bear witness of Jesus, his life, his truth, his works, his very words. So what Jesus is reminding us of is that the Spirit's role is to unify us, to edify us, that means to mature us, to grow us, to make us more complete, and then to equip us to serve as gospel witnesses throughout the world. And one of the ways the New Testament writers talk about this equipping is spirit giftedness. The way we define that here at Summit is that you and I would discover and engage our spirit giftedness. That's the third outcome. Now, let me give you a working definition. A really accessible working definition of spirit giftedness. Are you ready? Spirit giftedness is how Jesus continues his ministry on earth. We all on the same page? Spirit giftedness is how Jesus continues his ministry on earth. Let me put it this way. Let me add a little bit to it. What God began to do in the world through Jesus, he continues to do by the Spirit through the church. That's what he's doing. He's continuing to do his work that we read about in the Gospels. Through who? The church, his people. And that ministry happens through gifts given to each of us by the Spirit. Spirit giftedness. Now, I want to make three observations in our time together this morning, because I know for a lot of us, when it comes to walking with Jesus and following Jesus and being a part of the church and thinking about giftedness, this becomes a really challenging conversation. So I want to make this as practical as possible, and I want to tie it back to what we have seen in John 14 through 17. So I got three observations I want to make. Here's the first. The Spirit of God produces in our lives both fruit and gifts, but they are not the same. And that's really important for us. The Spirit of God produces in our lives both fruit and gifts, but we cannot confuse them. Spiritual fruit is something that we are. Spiritual gifts is something that we do. Think about it this way. The fruit of the Spirit that he is producing in our lives as we learn to abide with Jesus in the context of community is literally shaping who we are becoming. So life in the Spirit, learning to abide with Jesus and learning to walk in the Spirit, to stay in step with the Spirit, is the Spirit producing the very character of Jesus in and through your life. That's fruit. That's the characteristics of Jesus coming more and more and more evidence in our life. But the gifts, there's only one who possesses them all. And that's Jesus. And what he tells us throughout not only his ministry, but through the New Testament writers, is that the Spirit promises to uniquely gift each of us with an ability, a particular power, or a particular insight, or with a particular work that helps mature the church as it fulfills its purposes in the world. So it's really important from the outset to remember that fruit is character. Gift is ministry. And it's really easy within the church to confuse fruit for a gift that I enjoy utilizing. Right? They're not the same, but it is the Spirit of the living God who produces both. Okay? Here's the second observation. Jesus wants you and me to join him in a supernatural work which requires a supernatural gift that he freely gives to each of us by the Spirit. And that supernatural gift that he gives to you, it's not for you. It's for the good of us and the good of the world. Now, I don't know how you hear that, but that is an incredibly compelling invitation of Jesus. Like, Jesus is not inviting us into a life that is stale or static. Jesus is inviting you and me into a supernatural life with supernatural power to demonstrate supernatural love. And for some of us in the room, I think this kind of life with Jesus, it just doesn't make sense, or it feels more like boredom. When I think about my relationship and my walk with Jesus, it feels more like boredom than it does beauty and wonder. The quarter just hasn't dropped. Why? I think it can be because we either ignore or dismiss his invitation to discover and actually exercise our supernatural gift for his supernatural work. Think about the invitation of Jesus. Hey, I'm inviting you into life with me. I'm producing my character in you. And I'm gifting you in a supernatural way, which is going to be for the good of us and the good of the world. Like, who doesn't want in on that? Like, who doesn't want in on the supernatural work that God is doing in the world through his people? And for some of us who maybe sit here this morning and we think about our relationship with Jesus and we go, I haven't given thought to this, or this has been incredibly confusing to me. What I want to say to you is this should at least be a compelling invitation to go, hey, Jesus, I want in on that. I don't know what that looks like, but I want in on that. And I know part of the tension, because this has been part of my own journey, but part of the tension is this: what are the gifts? And that's where we get hung up. What are the gifts? What are my gifts? And I could answer that question in a lot of different ways this morning. I could answer it by showing you the 6 different lists that are talked about in the scriptures. But none of the lists are intended to be exhaustive. And I think it's just like Jesus not to go, hey guys, here's the 47 gifts that you're going to get to choose from. And I think the reason why Jesus doesn't quantify it and spell it out in black and white, because if he did, he knows that you and I would be prone not to be dependent upon the Spirit. And the spiritual gifts are all about reliance upon the Spirit. So I want to frame our understanding of Spirit giftedness with an eye towards the ministry of Jesus. The very first text we read this morning, Jesus is telling his disciples, the things that I have done, the things that you have seen me do, the things that you've heard me articulate from my ministry, my works, you're going to continue to do those things. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to ascend back to the right hand of the Father. I'm sending the Spirit. I'm still inviting you into fullness of life with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But the things that I have done, you are going to continue to do because I'm sending the Spirit. And when He comes upon you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do those things. And when you read the book of Acts, what do you see? Ordinary people doing what Jesus did by the power of the Spirit. That's what we see. From healing to hospitality. From prophecy to teaching to exhortation to wisdom to discernment. From deliverance of the demonic to supernatural faith. From raising the dead to generosity that makes no logical sense. From serving with no expectation of return to leading with truth and grace. From justice and mercy for the marginalized, the wounded, and the forgotten, to meeting every single need within the household of faith. Ordinary people participating in a supernatural life with supernatural gifts, demonstrating supernatural love. Listen to me this morning. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. You think Jesus doesn't know that? It doesn't matter what season you're in. It doesn't matter what level of knowledge you possess. It doesn't matter your personality. It doesn't matter your past or your present or even your life experiences. Jesus is inviting you and me to join Him in what He is doing in the world through the church. And it's a supernatural work that requires a supernatural gift. And He freely gives it. I don't know about you, but that's really good news. I want in on that. I want in on that. Here's the third observation I want to make. And it's a promise. I'll state it this way. If you and I get involved in the lives of others in the church, and we learn as we abide with Jesus, as we walk in step with the Spirit, we learn to love as He commanded us, we will discover our gifts. Let me say that one more time, because all of those are critical to the discovery. If you get involved in the lives of others within the community of faith, this church or any other Bible-believing, gospel-centered church, and you learn as you abide in Jesus to love one another in that community of faith with the love that He commanded, you know what He promises you? You'll discover your gifts. That's the promise. I think this needs to be said about this conversation. Jesus is not trying to keep the gift from you. Like, the discovery of your gift is not like a treasure hunt with two clues that you have no idea how to decipher. That's not what's going on here. This might seem counterintuitive, what I'm getting ready to say to you, but I think it's exactly what Jesus and the New Testament writers are telling us. We discover our gifts by demonstrating love towards one another. We discover our gifts by serving one another with no expectation of return. Like, the early followers of Jesus in the book of Acts were not wondering, hey Jesus, when are you going to send us that spiritual assessment test? Like, I need to know my Enneagram number. Like, I'm an 8 with a wing 4. And if I don't know that, I don't think this thing's going to work out. Now, if you have no idea what I just said, you're one of the blessed ones. Here's what was going on in the book of Acts. They simply gave themselves to an abiding life with Jesus. And they willingly chose to love and serve one another with no expectation of return. And you know what happened? The Spirit of God in their midst made His supernatural gifts known among them. That's what happened. If you and I give ourselves to loving and serving for the good of this family, we will inevitably use our gifts to do that, that only He can give to us. And some of you are going, I want my gift. And I want you to know, it's not separated from loving and serving a group of people called the family of God. It's not. If the gifts are discovered as we serve one another, that means that over time, we should all know how we are all gifted. That's spirit giftedness. Let me close with this thought. I'm not exactly sure where the quarter may need to drop for you in this conversation. But regardless of where you are at on the spectrum, when it comes to discovering and engaging your spirit giftedness for the good of the body, whether you feel stuck or confused or simply not that interested, I believe we all have to begin at the same place. And here's where this conversation is level ground for all of us. You ready? The Spirit of God is alive and at work in me. And the Spirit of God is alive and at work in me for us. That's where it begins. The Spirit of God is alive and at work in me, and He is alive and at work in me for us. You got to ask yourself this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you think about that? Do you think about your gift without thinking about the people in this room? That might be where the quarter needs to drop. That might be where the quarter needs to drop. Do we let ourselves enjoy the notion that God is doing a supernatural thing in and through His church for the good of the world? Do you think about that? Do you let the prospect of getting in on that like rise to the surface and maybe push you beyond your comfort zone to go, man, that seems scary. I know that's going to maybe push me beyond personality and what's comfortable and what's easy, but I want to participate in a supernatural work. I want to see God show up. Ordinary people walking in step with the Spirit, empowered with supernatural gifts, get to experience supernatural work. I'm going to invite the team to come back out, and we're going to have just a moment to respond. I do want to invite you to hang in the room. I know we're ending service a little bit earlier, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But I would encourage you to stay in the room for this last song. And it's really a question I just want to leave you with and to ponder and consider. And I'll phrase it this way. Hey, Jesus, I want in on what You're doing in the world through Your people. And if I'm being honest this morning with myself, and even before You, I'm not even sure how much I actually desire that, but I want to want that. And for some of you, that's where the quarter needs to drop. That you'd be willing to even look back at the Lord and go, I don't know if I want that, but I want to want that. Here's the question. Jesus, will You give me the courage and the willingness to move towards people in this church and to learn by Your Spirit how to serve them, love them with the kind of love that You're producing in me? That's where the gifts show up. Hey, Jesus, would You give me the courage to serve and love with no expectation of return? Because Your promise to me is that when I give myself to the church in that way, that's where your supernatural work shows up. Father, I pray that you would help your children, your beloved sons and daughters today, through the power of what Jesus Christ has accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection, even his ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us by faith, that brings us into unity and harmony with the fullness, the capacity, the potential to experience life with you. God, would you continue to increase a vision within your people for that? A longing to live from the place of abiding with you. Knowing that you over time, in the context of meaningful relationships, are forging out your character in and through us. Oh, and God, you are doing a supernatural work. And some of us don't see it because we're not engaged in it. We're not asking you for it. We're not seeking to discover it by learning to love and serve one another. Some of us don't have eyes to even behold the mystery of all that you are unfolding and unveiling to your people. Because we're just kind of caught up in our life, our way, our agenda. Would you, this morning, by the power of your Spirit, maybe remove some of the scales from our eyes to behold, to desire, to come to you, to go, Jesus, would you help me see? Would you help me to want to experience this kind of life with you? Would you let the quarter drop? We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.